Now's the time to find your color, your paint, and everything to get started during Red, White, and Blue Savings at the Home Depot. Transforming your room is easier than ever. With the best deals online and in-store, you can confidently select your color and the tools for your next paint project. Get a colorful new experience and the right paint for the right price. Save $10 on 1 gallon and $40 off 3 and 5 gallons for a limited time only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Limit 25 gallons per household. See store for details.
This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
36 minutes past 7 a.m. It's Tuesday, December 5th. Han and Brian here in the studio. Right now we've got the World Market Watch segment, and on the line we have Kingsley Jones, founder and chief investment officer at Jevons Global in Sydney.
Good morning, Kingsley. The Reserve Bank of Australia is set to make a monetary policy decision this afternoon. What's the market consensus on the direction the RBA will take?
I think the market view is probably that the RBA will hold steady on rates, which will keep the Australian dollar locked in a reasonably tight trading range. And the reason is simply that Sydney and Melbourne housing markets, indeed housing right across the country, is softening now. We've got low clearance rates and softer falling prices. So I think the RBA would be reluctant to hike at this point. And the offsetting factor, of course, is firmer commodity prices. Iron ore continues to surprise on the upside. And that ultimately augurs for a higher dollar down the track if the RBA were to raise rates. But we need to recognize the consumer sector is still soft because real wage growth has been quite weak. And also we have, the arrival of Amazon now in Australia, and there's a lot of concern in retail about disruption from online sales, and that obviously could lead to some job losses because retail is a big employer. We're already seeing some bankruptcies and closures at the margin, mainly in higher-end fashion brands. So the positive in all of that is a pickup in private business capital expenditure. So you'll understand it's a bit of a mixed bag, and therefore I think the market is really thinking, well, if the RBA does nothing, that's probably a good outcome until we see all of this settle down in terms of the different forces pulling in different directions.
Now, Kingsley, you talked about the Sydney and Melbourne market, property market starting to correct. Now, are we heading for a soft or hard landing?
I think it probably will be a soft landing simply because the underlying immigration to Australia is still very strong. So although prices are high and affordability is low, you will likely see a bit of a broadening out of interest amongst investors and also those who are owner-occupiers when they seek employment in different markets. Now, the two markets which have been very weak for some time is two large markets is Western Australia and Queensland, and there were some very early signs in WA, in the Perth market, that may have bottomed in the last couple of weeks. But I don't think one would be calling an aggressive uptick in that cycle yet. We'd need to see very strong employment in Perth off the back of a resurgent mining sector before we really had any confidence that Perth property was going to move higher.
Now, given the exposure that banks, Aussie banks, have to the property market, is that going to have an impact on their performance moving forward?
Well, ordinarily it would. The thing that is important to recognise about the Australian banks, and particularly Australian mortgage structures, is that they're non-recourse mortgages. So all that means is that, unlike in the US during the financial crisis, home buyers were able to walk away, the so-called jingle mail of leaving the keys behind and just walk away from the asset. That's not the case in Australia. You remain on the hook. So you're unlikely to see that. Australians also have a pretty good record of paying down their mortgages. So there is certainly leverage there. There's an affordability problem, but I think it's unlikely to cause the banks a huge amount of damage. The bigger factor there, of course, is the Royal Commission and the inquiry into banks and financial services more generally, and that's weighing on sentiment for banking counters right now.
Let's move on to oil a bit then. And last week, OPEC has pledged to limit production to 2018. What's your view on the direction of oil prices, given then at current attractive prices, $50 to $60 a barrel, relative to the cost of production for U.S. shale producers at $30 to $35 U.S.? Are they going to ramp up production, and will Russia break ranks with OPEC if they do so?
Well, look, that's really the big question. I think, firstly, the thing to note is just how far that break-even level has fallen in U.S. shale to the number that you mentioned, around 30, 35, when it used to be 55, 60-plus. So that says that we really do have a new benchmark clearing price at the margin for U.S. shale production. I think the important thing to understand about shale is that it's been a truism of the history of oil, particularly in the United States, that whenever you get these periods of high productivity, there's usually some mechanism that steps in to regulate the U.S. market, perhaps not regulation through law, but regulation through market power. And in the past, you know, in the early days of oil, it was very, very productive, and you had Rockefeller step in with Standard Oil, and he effectively controlled the price through controlling the supply of rail cars. That continued in Texas with the Texas Railroad Commission from the 1920s through the 1950s. Oil isn't really shipped by rail that much anymore, but it is shipped by pipelines, and there is a degree of consolidation happening in the U.S. pipeline industry that may actually see some capital discipline brought to bear in how much new expansion there is with shale. So that would be the factor I would watch in the U.S. Obviously, outside the U.S., in the Middle East, the big concern is whether we might see an actual supply shock, not because of OPEC coming to an agreement, but more to do with disagreement in the Middle East, that is to say conflict, and the increasing tensions between Saudi Arabia and Iran. So you could easily imagine a scenario where the U.S. started to stabilize somewhat above that level you mentioned, 35, maybe 45 to 55. But if you had a shock to oil supply due to conflict in the Middle East, then we could easily go straight back up to the 70s and 80s. So they're the two things that we pay attention to.
Now, moving on to the U.S., Senate Republicans passed the biggest overhaul of the U.S. tax code in three decades. Major victory for the dysfunctional Trump administration. On the flip side, you have the U.S. economy that's just humming along very nicely. U.S. employers probably hired at the most robust rate in November, as the unemployment rate was at a 17-year low. Where do you see as the risk to the U.S. growth story?
Well, the U.S. economy is really late cycle now, which means that it's the time when you tend to see more capital expansion. That is to say, you know, companies, the demand's there, you know, unemployment is lower. There's a bit of optimism around. The tax cuts certainly help that. There will be accelerated depreciation on certain items. And so I think we'll see probably a commitment to two forms of new activity I haven't seen in a long time, more CapEx in the physical economy in the U.S., you know, building plant and equipment and so on, taking advantage of low gas prices for petrochemicals, for example. We're seeing a resurgent auto sector. I mean, General Motors seems to have really come out of its funk. We also will probably see a lot more activity on just mergers and acquisitions. You know, companies taking advantage of still cheap corporate credit to try to consolidate in those industries where it might be possible to do some capacity takeouts and other further, you know, improvement in the U.S. Economic performance. And notwithstanding, you know, the rise of automation, we would see particular areas of strength in places like aerospace and defense, where forward orders look good, petrochemicals with some of that activity I mentioned. And also probably just basic infrastructure, because the U.S. has a lot to rebuild.
Thanks for your insights, Kingsley. That was Kingsley Jones, founder and chief investment officer, Jevons Global from Sydney.
All right, and in just a bit, folks, we'll be looking at the local business headlines, including Petronas's outlook for oil prices for 2018. And also, we'll take a closer look at Malaysia's manufacturing PMI that hit a 43-month high in November. That's all coming up right here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Now's the time to find your color, your paint, and everything to get started during red, white, and blue savings at the Home Depot. Transforming your room is easier than ever. With the best deals online and in-store, you can confidently select your color and the tools for your next paint project. Get a colorful new experience and the right paint for the right price. Save $10 on 1 gallon and $40 off 3 and 5 gallons for a limited time only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Limit 25 gallons per household. See store for details.